Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So opposition parties have criticised the Attorney General's report on legal advice to the government relating to nursing home fees. So this was published yesterday evening. It concluded that the legal advice was sound, accurate and appropriate, and there's no positive legal duty on the state to make retrospective payments on the disabled person's maintenance allowance. And joining us with more on this is the Irish Daily Mail's political correspondent Craig Hughes. Craig, you're welcome. And it was your sister paper that first reported on this story. And you read the report when it was published yesterday. What did you make of it then and now?
I was very surprised. I mean, government had been briefing some journalists in advance of its publication that it would be very legalistic. I think what was more surprising, though, was the political nature of the document, which seems to go through kind of legal gymnastics to justify the state's strategy to conceal its obligations in relation to people who were denied disability payments and also in relation to nursing home charges. It says the strategy was lawful and that it was in line with its obligations to the public purse.
Yeah, it says when electing to defend litigation, it must be emphasised that the state always does so in the public interest. So are we to understand that the public interest means saving the state and taxpayers' money?
Well, that's the contention here, and I think that's what people will be quite surprised by. And just to quote from it, it says, you know, and I quote, "But the public interest must, of course, always extend to considering the position of the taxpayer who is called upon to fund every benefit agitated for." And I think this is what will really stick in the craw with a lot of people, because let's take the disability payments issue, and this point was made by Inclusion Ireland on Primetime last night. In that instance, you know, it's not really a level playing field, because, you know, you're dealing with people who perhaps aren't aware of the issue. You know, they're not on the same footing as perhaps an ordinary actor in this case would be.
Okay, now, what does this mean then, this report, for what the government is going to do, government policy on this from here on, do you think?
I think it's difficult, and I think another aspect of the report kind of blows this out of the water. But where it mentions the kind of MICA redress scheme, and it mentions the apparent defect scheme, and it says, oh, you know, sometimes the government will make an ex gratia claim where it's the right thing to do, but they're not legally bound by it. So essentially saying, okay, well, if you're able to make enough noise about an issue and convince us it's the right thing to do, we'll do it. But if we've, as to quote Taoiseach, if we don't have a legal leg to stand on, we're not going to make retrospective payments. I mean, it really is a stretch, I must say.
But officially, we know the state has, so the government has 3 months to consider this report, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this is excuse my cynicism, a way to kick it down the road. Cabinet considered the report yesterday. It's now with the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, and the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys. They'll consider the report for 3 months and then revert back to Cabinet. We don't know what parameters they've been given, whether they've been asked to advise on whether they should consider payments or not.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, to see what the government response will be, because we had Michael McGrath, the Finance Minister, on the programme last week, and we asked him about the issue of disability payments, and RTÉ Investigates revealed that they had been wrongly denied to thousands of people, 12,000 people. And Minister McGrath made the very clear point last week here on the programme that the state will fulfil its legal obligations, including going back to pay people money that they should have been paid. He said, "We must uphold the law." So I wonder, where does this report from Rossa Fanning leave that now?
Well, the report does say that there's no legal obligation for retrospective payments in regards to disability. So, I mean, there is an out from there, if you like. But, I mean, it comes back to the morality of this, you know. I think the government will really struggle to defend this to anyone whose vote they seek next time around if they take that approach.
Okay, well, you're staying with us, but I'm also joined by Mairead Enright, who's Professor of Law at the University of Birmingham, who's written widely on issues of historical redress in Ireland. Mairead, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. I know that you've been reading this report. What's your own overall impression of how it addresses the broader issue of the state defending itself in litigation?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting as a general statement of litigation policy, sort of across the wide range of cases where an individual might want to sue the state. And I think, you know, everything that you've hit on already seems to be true, seems to be fair, that there isn't really an acknowledgement of the specific nature of cases taken against the state. So the Attorney General explains what civil litigation is and says, you know, repeatedly, the state like any other party. But of course, the state isn't any other party. There's a profound inequality of arms at play when an individual sues the state. And particularly when we're talking about so-called historic cases, like cases in respect of the Magdalen Laundries of mother and baby homes, you know, the individual litigant is in a very vulnerable position. It's not possible effectively to take class actions. The individual taking the case runs significant risks in terms of costs, which you just aren't the same kind of issue for the state. There can be difficulties in respect of evidence. There can be difficulties in respect of the statute of limitations and so on. So when you're talking about those kinds of cases, it would be useful if the Attorney General would acknowledge that it's not quite the same as any other form of civil litigation. There are jurisdictions where the state has an obligation to behave as a model litigant. So the Attorney General in this report says repeatedly, you know, commentators are saying the state is cruel or the state is callous merely for seeking to defend itself. Nobody is saying the state can't defend cases. Nobody is saying, nobody is denying that this is the fundamental structure around which the legal system is built, is a structure of adversarialism. I think what people are saying is that there should be limits to how far the state can go in defending itself. And so the failure to acknowledge the specificity of people's experiences is really surprising. And I think particularly when the state itself acknowledges that it's very difficult to sue the state, you know, that's why we have the cervical check tribunal, that's why we have so many redress schemes, because governments repeatedly say we can't put people through the experience of taking us to court because we recognise that it is incredibly damaging and re-traumatising.
What did you make of the tone of the report? Pat Leahy in the Irish Times this morning says that the report explains, he says, sometimes as though it is addressing an especially dim-witted class of schoolboys, the nature of the decisions about expenditure that all governments must make.
I think more important than the tone is perhaps the framing. So I think, as you've identified already, there's a relentless focus on finances and there's a conflation of public interest with the state's legitimate interest in managing the public purse appropriately. And I think that's misleading. You know, so the Attorney General, for example, refers to people who have been disappointed not to obtain a benefit. And I think that that's a mischaracterization of some of the most prominent cases that have been taken against the state. So if you think about the cases that have been taken in respect of the Magdalen Laundries or the cases that are about to be taken in respect of the mother and baby homes, I don't think it's fair to say that those are primarily about financial benefit. You know, those are cases where, for example, people have looked for a clear statement of reasons for their exclusion, which we know is still a live issue at the moment in relation to the mother and baby homes at redress scheme. So the government has not been sufficiently transparent in giving good reasons for the exclusion of categories of people, and the only place that those people feel they can go is the court. Those cases are often about significant breaches of human rights or significant forms of personal damage that have not already been redressed or compensated for by the state. You know, if you think about people like Vicky Phelan, Philomena Canning, Elizabeth Coppin, I think it's very difficult to describe them merely as people who've been disappointed not to receive a benefit. And so although you know, certainly this is the Attorney General. There's a certain legal weight and authority behind his interpretation of the law. But I think that it's a very narrow interpretation, and I think it's a very disappointing one, because the Attorney General is not merely the expensive lawyer to the government. The Attorney General also has a role as a guarantor of the Constitution, of our constitutional rights. You know, if we sue the state, we're in a very strange position in that the defendant is also the person who is charged with protecting our most fundamental rights and freedoms.
So this then,
that's not acknowledged in this report.
This then, Mairead, would you agree, is a legal opinion framed in a very particular political context?
I mean, I think certainly if this is an authoritative statement of the law as it stands, then I think we're in a very difficult position. Because I think it suits the state to be able to draw a hard line between legal obligations and purely moral obligations that may or may not give rise to an entitlement to ex gratia redress. I think if the state doesn't acknowledge how difficult it makes it for ordinary individuals to participate in changing the law, then it's not being entirely honest with us in drawing those simplistic distinctions between legal and moral. And I think, you know, maybe I wouldn't share the same terms that Pat Leahy has used, but I certainly think people are rightly critical of that distinction and they're starting to see through it. And hopefully the government will acknowledge that and come back with a more concrete and complex response.
You, Craig, mentioned kicking the can down the road earlier, but we know the Labour Party has been out already this morning, Ivana Bacik on Morning Ireland saying that the report is disappointing, Sinn Féin saying that it is callous. There will be significant opposition push against this report while the government considers its official response.
Yes, I'd be surprised if this doesn't dominate leaders' questions today. We know there's dull time allocated to it tomorrow evening, and then it goes into the two Oireachtas committees. Separately, the Department of Health is also conducting a review that they say isn't technically a review of all the documents that they have at the time. And just an important point to make on that, because we published a story last Tuesday in the Irish Daily Mail, which said that a briefing note was made on the nursing home payments while Leo Varadkar was minister. He stood up in the role and said he isn't the minister referenced in it. But in the Attorney General's report, there's a very interesting point which says, in legal terms, whether the relevant minister was personally involved in deciding on the litigation strategy finally adopted or whether they're even aware of it is irrelevant. The minister is legally responsible for the acts of the department irrespective. So that'll put pressure back on Leo Varadkar, who attempted to distance himself from this entirely.
OK, we'll leave it there for now, Craig, but thank you very much for joining us on that. That's Craig Hughes and also Mairead Enright. And we'll take a quick break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.